steps to make sure that you can try to reverse it or even control it. You may not be able to reverse it, but you can still try to take measures to make sure that you're still being healthy and on top of what you need to be doing. And I think community health is also a big part of that as well. And I think what the health departments are doing is really good. They do have a lot of different programs to help people, but I think some people don't really know about the different resources that they have. So I think doctors can also do a better way of explaining them, providing resources, engaging with them, and sharing different ways that they can help improve that aspect as well.
That is right on here what you said. And I didn't even think about that. I thought diabetes is really prevalent in the community, for the African-American community there.
Yes.
And it has a lot to do with our eating, our habits, resting, everything, you know, exercise and getting out there. And sometimes it's passed down, right? It's generational, from what I understand. And that you got to know that, again, that goes back to the annual testing that you need, right? The annual physical. And I have diabetes in my family from the past. I'm pre-diabetic to an extent. I'm hyperglycemic, so I got to watch what I eat a lot of times. Yep. And a lot of Brianna Blunt on our show today. Brianna is pursuing her master's degree in health administration at UNC Charlotte. How are you doing today, Brianna?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And thank you so much for coming on our show. Brianna, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your educational journey.
Okay. Originally from Durham, North Carolina. I was born and raised there. A transition to Winston-Salem to go to school for a bachelor's of healthcare administration at Winston-Salem State University. And then I also go to UNC Charlotte at the moment, majoring in a master's of health administration.
So was there any reason why you chose health administration at your master's and undergrad?
Yeah, so actually I've been in the health field for a long time. I actually started volunteering at the hospital like when I was about 15 years old.
Wow.
So that really kind of spoke to me. I used to want to be a pediatrician. So I actually started as a nursing major at first. Wow. At Winston-Salem State University. Then I transitioned to the healthcare management aspect just because I wanted some more information as like the policies and procedures that they would kind of enforce in the health background. But I've always been like in biomed in high school. So it was just something that kind of spoke to me, and I like to serve and help people. So that was my reason behind it.
Well, you can help people nursing, you know, ain't no wrong with a little blood on you.
So, yes, you're right. but my understanding, like now that I'm to a point where I'm in my master's degree and even my undergrad, I now know that I don't have to have like a direct patient kind of interaction. I can help from the background as well. I don't have to have a close interaction with them to still kind of help and serve them still.
You know, and that's something we've done in the past, Brianna, is that I talked to different guests and we talked about like you're going to change your major or you may change your mind in doing something, especially if you get into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do maybe an internship, you work part time, you do a co-op in the job you think you may want to go into. You go into that job or the internship and you say, oh, that's not for me, you know.
Right, exactly.
A lot of people have done that, right? You heard a lot of people, especially cooks. I'm tired of cooks saying, or chefs, I'm like, well, you know, I started off as an engineer. I started off as a computer science major, and then I end up cooking, you know. Now, a lot of them got their degree or law degree or whatever, and I'm sure their parents said, well, you know what? If you would have told us that the first time, we wouldn't have paid all that money.
Exactly, yeah. It'll cost on the back end.
You'd be a chef. You could go right over to the Art Institute of Technology, chef school, or you could go to any specialized school, Johnson & Wales, and they would have saved us thousands of dollars. But now you decide to go for your passion, I'd be paying thousands of dollars for you to go to school. And so, but that's just a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a part of life. We change our mind, and it's good that we can change our mind, you know. So did you have a role model that you looked on as far as going into the healthcare field? Were they a role model, or that's something you always had in you as a young person?
I think that's something that I just always had in me. I always look at my mom as a role model. She's a very graceful person. She always had the ambition to serve and just kind of be more outgoing. So I did always look up to her. I still look up to her now, but she's actually a teacher. Well, she started off as a teacher. She's currently a director now. So I always look for her to see how she's doing in life. She's always very encouraging. She wants me to continue to be outgoing and always serve other people. So not more so like in the health field, but just like in general life.
Oh, yeah.
I look up to her.
Yeah, yeah. My mom was a teacher too. So I come from a background of teachers also. So yeah. My dad was a music teacher and my mom was an English teacher in literature. And Okay. Sometimes you would not believe my mom was a teacher the way I speak sometimes.
Yeah, she's in STEM. So I guess that's kind of similar, like STEM, like science, technology, math, things like that. Yeah. So I've always loved math growing up. I used to want to be a math teacher, but I was like, it's a lot of numbers.
It is. And I have an older brother that's a math teacher. And so Okay. That's great. And that's great that your mom's in STEM. You know, we try to encourage, especially minorities and women, to go into the STEM programs. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be more of a expansion of STEM programs these days in high school and trying to encourage more students to go into STEM programs in college. So Those majors that normally women or minorities would, I would say, not go into, we're trying to encourage them to go into that, especially if you have a passion for it. So if you have a passion for something, and I said in many episodes, then go for it. You know, it's your life. You only live once. So go for what you really love. And you seem to be doing that yourself. That is fantastic. So why did you choose to go to Winston-Salem State, the HBCU, rather than any other school? I'm pretty sure you could have gone to.
Yeah. Well, first, my thought was I did want to get out of what I was used to, Durham, North Carolina. It's still in North Carolina, but it was a little bit far away from home. Like I was talking to you earlier, I do like to kind of spread my wings and experience different surroundings. And like I said, I did first go there for nursing. They do have a great nursing school. And I actually did get accepted into their nursing school through a GAP program. So I didn't really have to apply there. So it was a really good fit for me. I feel like I had a lot of opportunities, a lot of things that I could get involved with. So I feel like that kind of spoke to me as well, as far as like being at an HBCU where I can have people surrounding me that would support me also. So it was a great experience.
So do you think that experience is helping you now as you go to your master's, that love and calling, as far as really, really taking you by the wings and say, hey, Brianna, you know, the positive thinking, you know, you can make it, you can do it. From what I hear from HBCUs, I went to UNC Pembroke. So I went to Central PMI Community College. Well, really, I went to Mitchell Community College, to be fair, in Statesville, North Carolina, transferred to Central PMI Community College and got my associate degree and then transferred to UNC Pembroke. Okay. And so my route was a different route than many people as far as going to two community colleges and then going to get my 4-year degree. Mm-hmm. But my mom graduated from North Carolina A&T and my dad, North Carolina Central. And I have many friends and relatives and nephews and my son going to North Carolina A&T. And so the HBCU experience that I hear from them is very positive, especially when they go to the next level. Do you find that Winston-Salem State prepared you for what you're going into now in your master's degree at UNC Charlotte?
I definitely think they prepared me. You spoke about internships a little bit earlier.
Yes.
And I actually had two internship opportunities my senior year. So that for me was very eye-opening. I was able to get a lot of insight. For instance, I actually had one internship at Forsyth Department of Public Health. So that was more so like a public health standpoint of things. I kind of got hands-on experience with the community. I was in the nursing and preventative health department. So it was a very good experience for me to get like the clerical side, but also clinical experience. So I could just be a sponge, soak in some information, more knowledge about what I wanted to pursue. And then I also had something very different from healthcare management. Mm-hmm. It was an internship that I did at Red Ventures, and that's a marketing company. Yes. So I was a data analyst there. So I didn't really want to box myself into what I was used to, which was healthcare. I wanted to kind of spread my wings and see how I could like manage new skills and develop new insights to other things as well. So that kind of was two different things, but I'll just let you know that after graduating from Winston-Salem State, I actually pursued the data analyst position for me. Yeah. So I'm actually just getting back into healthcare management now because it is my passion. It is what I love to do. But it was a good experience for me to kind of step into a different field and learn those new skills so I could also apply it to what I'm doing now.
Well, I think that's fantastic because we talked about internships here a lot of times on the show, and you've done two internships.
Yeah.
You know, I've done no internships, so I didn't know what I was doing, Brianna. I was a business management major at UNC Pembroke, and the year when I graduated, I went to Desert Shield Desert Storm in 1991. Now I'm telling you my age. And I don't want to hear that you wasn't born yet. I know a lot of people wasn't born yet, okay? I don't want to hear that. I don't hear that using my, we was kindergartens, writing your letters, anything like that. I've heard all the young people jokes, okay? And I'm back in the history books, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I know that. And that was the job I've done. And I was a parts specialist. And so I would issue out parts and help the maintenance out. And so that is not the internship I wanted. That's the internship I got, not the one I wanted when I came out. And so I think, as we stated earlier, do an internship. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, do a part-time job, something in your field. And like you said, you went outside the field, which is great, because you need to get different skills and different knowledges to know what you're doing within your field. Because a lot of times you may utilize the skills and knowledge that you know from another field into your field to help you out with that one. And so by you being a data analyst, you still analyze data, do you not, in public health? Yes, you analyze a lot of data. So that adds on to the skills that you already have. And so that enhances you as a person and your technical skills to make sure that you're able to handle things that come about that. So what excites you about the health administration field? Because you didn't go into nursing, you didn't go into computer science or business management. It ain't the regular field of criminal justice. Did you see it there? You know, 90% of people, I feel like, always like me, you know, what's your major? I majored in administration. Don't know nothing about business administration. They just, because they want to major in business, or your parents say, well, you going to computer science because they pay money. Well, yeah, it pays good money, but it's pretty hard going to computer science. It's a lot of math. You know, and so just to say, well, I think I'm going to computers, you know, because I like computers. You better really love computers once you get into that major. And so that come back to you that why did you go? I mean, healthcare is really good and administration is really good, but you could have gone to any other major. Was that passion there for you really to help people on this side rather than another way of helping people?
I think it was. Like I said, I've always been in the healthcare field. I wanted to be a pediatrician, and it's kind of full circle now because I work at Novant Health at Elizabeth Pediatrics. Oh. So I'm at a pediatric facility. I'm not a pediatrician. I'm not doing the hands-on direct patient contact, but I'm still like behind the scenes making sure that everything as far as like workflow processes are good, the quality improvement, things like that. And then not only for myself, but like some family members also had some health issues going on when I was younger. So I was able to see that as a young child. So for me, it made me kind of want to go out and see how I could help improve that process in the healthcare system. So that's really what I'm trying to be passionate about and what I'm trying to pursue.
Yeah, you know, healthcare is big time here as far as in America. We have a lot of discussions on healthcare, political, local. I mean, it's all, you know, taking care of healthcare from Medicare, Medicaid, to other issues that we have trying to take to. And we went to the COVID, right? Another healthcare big issue there. So how do you feel about the healthcare that we have here in the United States at this moment? Is there ways that we can improve the healthcare and how that delivery is going?
I think it's definitely ways that we can improve. I do think that it has improved over the years from what it's used to been or what it previously was. I think there is still some work that we can do like in regards to quality of the care that we're receiving. A lot of doctors, I think, kind of... I don't want to say they rush you in and rush you out because they are sometimes on a time constraint, and that's not their fault sometimes, but I think that they can kind of also relay information. Like health literacy is a big thing that I've been learning about and researching about. Sometimes, especially like our older population, they may not understand what you're saying as a doctor because you're relaying information in a different way. So I think that quality, that communication could definitely be improved. Of course, cost is a big thing as well. Limiting that to any way possible is great. Medicaid did just expand, so that's a good thing to help people who cannot really afford the coverage and cost of health reasons and things like that. But I think it's still progressing. It does still have some things that need to be still kind of progressed. But I think overall, it's coming far.
Does that even include mental health? Because I know we're going through, like, you know, there's a lot of mental health crisis here, and I have family members going through mental health crisis and everything else. Does that also extend to mental health? Because, you know, it's really tough. You know, we went through COVID, which is a tough time, and then the economy is up and down so much these days, and there's a lot of mental health as far as young people going this pressure of, you know, bullying, cyberbullying, and just the pressure to live up to a certain image. You know, we see this image on social media all the time that, you know, these people making so much money, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know, you got YouTubers making a lot of money. How about the mental health capacity of healthcare?
I think the mental health area is a whole different ballgame in itself. Like you said, social media is just there for everyone to see now. I try to stay off social media myself. I try to use LinkedIn as my social media, and I try to actually sometimes limit that on my own. But I think mental health is not only for like the patients and people in general, but it also can be on the doctors, the nurses. They also have short staff at the moment, too. So it's like we all have to give each other grace during this time period. It's a lot going on with COVID. We're still fresh kind of out of COVID, but people are still coping with things that were previously done during COVID. So mental health is like a whole big umbrella that things are just under. It's very difficult times right now, I think. But I think we just all need to extend grace to one another.
Yeah. And so you said it's still, I know at one time when I was coming up and still throughout different eras, always been like a nursing shortage, you know, or even administrative shortage these days, you know, and after COVID, you know, everything's transitioned to online, you know. Mm-hmm. So do you know if there's still shortages that we still, so you're saying we still need more people in the healthcare field?
I definitely think we still need more people, especially nurses at the moment. I think my staff, we're not too short, but I think we still could use an extra hands on our team as well. And even in the mental health capacity that you were just talking about, a lot of people have transitioned to Zoom since we have that source now, but a lot of people could definitely benefit from more face-to-face interaction instead of being online sometimes. It just kind of is more beneficial, I think, especially for kids. They may not need this Zoom thing. They may be like, what the heck is this? I didn't grow up in this time sometimes. So, I think that it's a lot of improvement that still needs to go on for the mental health aspect, especially for the younger generation.
Yeah, I think you said it right on the head there. It is, especially for kids, it's a different avenue. I think kids they kind of like zoomed out from understanding from teachers, you know, like, you know, they really got tired of Zoom and wasn't as attentive as it is face-to-face. And I think kids need that face-to-face aspect. You know, they need to see you. I just think that's naturally who we are as human beings. Mm-hmm. And they need to see the interaction. They need to see your body language, how much you love them, how much you care for them. Right. And growing up in this type of environment where still people are getting COVID, you know, I have some coworkers or some workers get COVID still. It's still out there. Now, it's not as pervasive as it was, you know, praise the Lord, it's not. Yes. Because it was a bad time. But it's still, it's there. And we still have other, still you're going to get the other diseases or other things come in, right? Flu, colds, with the weather changing every day. And so if we can help do preventive care, is there an aspect of preventive care that y'all look at in the health administration field?
So I think preventive care, I did take a public health class and we did speak a lot about that, like cumulative incidents, prevalence incidents, things like that nature. But I believe that is more so of the public health side of things. Depending on what aspect of health administration that you do go to, I think it may be more relevant to that field though.
Yeah, because preventive health, and I think I said this before, really helps out as far as the health that you incur later on, right? If we can preventive health, you know, go to the dentist on a regular basis, get our checkups on a regular basis as far as annual checkups, you know, especially for adults. If you're a man over 50, you know, get that prostate exam. If you're a woman over a certain age, get that breast exam, you know, and, you know, continue to do your annual pap smear and other preventive measures that we use in order to catch things early, right? Catch cancer early, you know. Teach about nutrition too. You know, I think nutrition is an exercise. I think that still is the major thing that we need to do. How you feel about as far as trying to get people as far as nutrition and exercise is concerned? Are we doing enough of preventive care as far as even exercise and, you know, teaching nutrition?
Yeah, I think we can also do better in that aspect as well. Going back to preventative health, I was kind of in that aspect when I was doing my internship at the health department in Winston-Salem, because I did get exposure in the preventative health department. And they actually had a program called Diabetes and Prevention. It was North Carolina Diabetes and Prevention Program. So I did get to actually do a presentation at my alma mater at Winston-Salem State to help students who were maybe diabetic and really didn't know like how to reverse that and the steps that they could take to eat better. Like you said, exercising, making sure they're doing nutritious plates and things of that nature. Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, some kids may not think that it is a way to reverse it, but it's a step that you can take before developing diabetes type 2, and that's even worse. So it's like you can take different processes and different steps to make sure that you can try to reverse it or even control it. You may not be able to reverse it, but you can still try to take measures to make sure that you're still being healthy and on top of what you need to be doing. And I think community health is also a big part of that as well. And I think what the health departments are doing is really good. They do have a lot of different programs to help people, but I think some people don't really know about the different resources that they have. So I think doctors can also do a better way of explaining them, providing resources, engaging with them, and sharing different ways that they can help improve that aspect as well.
That is right on here what you said. And I didn't even think about that. I thought diabetes is really prevalent in the community, especially the African-American mm-hmm. community there.
Yes.
And it has a lot to do with our eating, our habits, resting, mm-hmm. everything, you know, exercise and getting out there. And sometimes it's passed down, right? It's generational from what I understand. And mm-hmm. then you got to know that, again, that goes back to that annual testing that you need, right? The annual physical. And I have diabetes in my family from the past. I'm pre-diabetic to an extent. I'm hyperglycemic, so I got to watch what I eat a lot of times. Yep. And I'm lactose intolerant, so that's the rough one. Right.
Yeah.
I love ice cream. I love ice cream. Girl. And I just would warn the audience, if you see me eating a lot of ice cream, do not be around me.
Stay far away.
You know, I can have a little small ice cream, be honest, but if I have too much ice cream, I'm not the most likable person, okay? And so I had to take preventive care in my ice cream usage.
That's funny.
So what do you like to do for fun? What are some of your hobbies, Brianna? We know you're very serious studying, you're very passionate about what you do, but what do Brianna like to do for fun? What are something you can do to take the stress off?
Yes, I like indulging in nature. Nature is my go-to. It's my relaxation. That's how I find my calmness. I enjoy hiking. So I usually like to go to the mountains area to go hiking. I'm really waiting for the weather just to warm up a little bit more because I do not like the cold. But once it gets a few more weeks in, I think I will be outside. I'll be hiking, get to, I also like doing exercise. I actually went to the gym late last night in the rain. So I feel like that's the best time to go to the gym. There's no one there on a rainy day. And then I also like to read. I like to be in the word. I like to watch sermons, podcasts. So podcasts and my sermons is my go-to. If I'm in the house, I'm doing that. If I'm out the house, I'm hiking or at the gym. So that's how I keep my sanity. I enjoy doing all those things. Aside from being with family and friends, but that's my go-to.
I tell you what, that is great because I also try to go to the gym to stay healthy, you know, every once in a while. And mm-hmm. I get the laziest, man. I'm like, man, I don't feel like going to the gym today.
Yes.
You know? I mean, that is the hard part, you know. You're right, going when it rained. And when it was raining yesterday, it was cold. I say, man, I'm not making the gym today. I just walk to the grocery store or something. I just walk inside.
And I think the hard part is actually getting up to go. But once I'm in the gym, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I got it. So it's just trying to work on that discipline. But once you get in the routine of it, you'll probably end up loving it.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what, Brianna, you and anybody in the audience, once I get in shape and they put me on Men's Fitness Magazine, I give everybody that who asks for a copy, okay? Right now, you don't want to see me. I'm not on a fitness magazine. I'm on the unfit magazine, okay?
But you'll get there. Progress.
That one you can buy real cheap, probably 10 cents. A copy. A copy, so you had no trouble. Brianna, before we leave, and you've been an excellent guest, do you have any advice for our young people, students or high school or college students about going into the public health administration field or just in general about going to college for young people?
Yeah. We did speak about a lot of internships. So if you, whatever route you're on, whether it be healthcare, social work, nursing, engineering, I would definitely say get you an internship, even if it's not required. Get an internship in your field, see what you enjoy. You won't really know if you like it until you do it, or you won't know if you don't like it until you do it. So I feel like the more experience that you get, the better. And I would just say, keep going. You might realize that you may reach some rooms that you may not need to be in, some failures, but it's about getting back up, making sure you stay on the right track and really just persevere through everything. And then short-term sacrifice is the long-term gain. So do it now and then result in the best things and the best outcomes later on.
Well, I love that. I love that. And I'm going to take what you said and apply to my own life. Although I'm older, I listen to people, even young people. I think y'all got a lot of insights these days. I think young people today are incredible. My mom used to love young people when she taught. And I said, why do you love young people so much? She said, they just got so much energy, Mitchell. They're just so bright-eyed. They just come with energy and knowledge and ideas. And they really get you going as an older person because we get flatlined. We get to a point where we get tired and this and that. And they'll always come with new ideas. But young person come in, they motor running, they're running in their brains and everything else. And this just gets you excited. And so it helps keep me young as well. Well, Brianna, I hate that we have to leave at this moment, ladies and gentlemen, but hey, Brianna got things to do, and too bad until we got in this podcast. But thank you so much, Brianna, for coming on our show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great to be here. I appreciate it.
And I'd like to thank our viewers and listeners for joining me, Mitchell Rivers, on the Career Education Learning Center podcast, where we make your career dreams a reality. God bless.